It's great to have you back with me again today on God Is. And what we are doing is working our way through the opening chapters of the book of Exodus, moving quickly in a summary fashion so that we can set the context for Exodus chapter 3 and verse 14. In that verse, God said to Moses, "I am who I am." And that reveals God to be self-existent. I'll get into the heart of this statement today, but first, go to Exodus 3 and verse 10. I hope you read verses 10 through 14 of chapter 3 before now. If so, you already have this on your mind and you've had a chance to think about it. If not, let me read these verses, but with one slight adjustment. I'll pick up the reading at verse 9. This is Exodus chapter 3, verses 9 through 14. "Now behold, the cry of the sons of Israel has come to me. Furthermore, I have seen the oppression with which the Egyptians are oppressing them. Therefore, come now, and I will send you to Pharaoh, so that you may bring my people, the sons of Israel, out of Egypt." But Moses said to God, "Who am I that I should go to Pharaoh, and that I should bring the sons of Israel out of Egypt?" And God said, "Certainly I will be with you, and this will be the sign to you that it is I who have sent you. When you have brought the people out of Egypt, you shall worship God at this mountain." Then Moses said to God, "Behold, I am going to the sons of Israel, and I will say to them, 'The God of your fathers has sent me to you.' Now they may say to me, 'What is his name?' What shall I say to them?" God said to Moses, "I am who I am." And God said, "Thus you shall say to the sons of Israel, 'I am has sent me to you.'" Remember now that verse 9 reflects answered prayer. The Israelites have been living down in Egypt, and the Egyptians have been oppressing them. Hard labor, the Pharaoh wanting all newborn Jewish boys killed. Just some examples of the harsh life God's people were enduring there. So back at the end of Exodus chapter 2, the Jews cry out to God in prayer, moaning, and the text says, God took notice of them. And now when we get to Exodus 3 and verse 9, we learn how God will answer their groaning prayers. He's going to use Moses to do so. Exodus 3 verse 9. "Now behold, the cry of the sons of Israel has come to me. Furthermore, I have seen the oppression with which the Egyptians are oppressing them. Therefore, come now, and I will send you to Pharaoh, so that you may bring my people, the sons of Israel, out of Egypt." Notice the emphasis on you. God is saying this to Moses. Up until verse 8 of Exodus 3, Moses must have been thinking, it's great that God is finally going to do something about the oppression of these Egyptians. You may recall that back in Exodus 2, Moses personally killed an Egyptian because he was picking on a fellow Jew. But after the burning bush, when God reveals himself to Moses and now identifies Moses as the person who God will use to answer the Israelites' prayer, Moses' response is, "I don't think so, God. There's no way you're using me to do this. In fact, I won't do it. I am the worst possible candidate. In fact, you, God, have to find someone else. I just do not have what it takes." You, meaning Moses, and Moses says, no. Let's look briefly at the excuses Moses gives to God. Verse 11, "But Moses said to God, 'Who am I that I should go to Pharaoh and that I should bring the sons of Israel out of Egypt?'" Ah, yes, the old "who am I" defense. I hear this all the time from Christians and churches. There's a ministry that needs someone to lead it, to guide the people of God in some act of service to God in the community. And as a pastor or church leader, you go to the ideal candidate and ask if they'll do it. And the response, a common response, is Moses-like, "Who am I?" And the Christ follower starts listing off how incompetent and incapable they are to serve God in this way. Too many of you have learned well from Moses. But notice God's response to this first excuse in verse 12. This is Exodus 3, verse 12. "And God said, 'Certainly I will be with you, and this shall be the sign to you that it is I who have sent you. When you have brought the people out of Egypt, you shall worship God at this mountain.'" God, as always, gives the perfect response. The Lord says, first of all, "I will be with you." Ah, yes, this is one of God's favorite sentences. And that should have ended the argument right there. This is precisely what God said to Moses and our forefathers, Abraham, Isaac, and Jacob. Read the book of Genesis. When God is with us, nothing and no one can stop us. God is the one who will do the ministry. He is merely using us as his human representative. We're tools in the hands of the living God. And so we must lower our pride, kill our excuses, and say, as long as you're with me, Lord, then I will do it. But that is not how Moses, and that is not how many of Christ's people today respond. And I'll say more on that in a minute. But I also want you to notice that God not only says, I will be with you, but God adds a promise, as if to say, I, God, guarantee your mission that I am sending you on will be a success. Verse 12 again, this shall be the sign to you that it is I who have sent you. When you have brought the people out of Egypt, you shall worship God at this mountain. God is predictive when you have. And of course, that is exactly what happened. If you keep reading Exodus, you'll see it. So God tells Moses he will be with him and adds the glorious promise, when you have. But Moses doesn't buy it. He doesn't believe God. And so here comes the next excuse. Listen to Exodus 3, verse 13. Then Moses said to God, behold, I am going to the sons of Israel, and I will say to them, the God of your fathers has sent me to you. Now they may say to me, what is his name? What shall I say to them? Moses continues in the dialogue by asking God a good question. I do not think we can be too harsh with Moses here. Moses is saying, in a sense, all right, God, let's say I go along to your people, all 2 million of them, and I say to them, the God of your fathers has sent me to you. You know, Abraham, Isaac, and Jacob's God. What if they ask me, what is his name? What do I tell them? And before we see God's response, I want to do a little detail work here in the text. Notice that Moses does not ask God, who are you? Moses asks, what? What is your name? What indicates that Moses wanted to know about the character of God, the nature of God, and the essence of God. Moses is not looking for a title. Moses is looking for what is descriptive of who God is. Please do not miss this detail in the Bible. Pay attention to detail. Moses is asking, who are you, God? Tell me about yourself, and listen now to how God responds. This is amazing. Exodus 3, verse 14. God said to Moses, I am who I am. And God said, thus you shall say to the sons of Israel, I am has sent me to you. There it is. I am. This is God's answer, and this tells us what we need to know about God. In 3 letters and 2 words, Moses knew, and we know the character, the nature, and the essence of God. I am. And I want to give you 2 insights into God's I am reply. I'll start today and carry this into tomorrow. First, I am is one of God's names. Here again is the question Moses asks. Now they may say to me, what is his name? What shall I say to them? In a sense, just so we can relate, God's name tag reads, I am who I am, and for short, I am. And in the Jewish culture, names are especially important because your name was meant to reveal your character. For example, Joseph and Mary, the human parents of Jesus, named him Jesus because Jesus means Savior. In Matthew chapter 1 and verse 21, the angel says, you shall call his name Jesus, for he will save his people from their sins. Jesus' name revealed his character. It's the same here. God's name, I am who I am, reveals his character. Second, we must ask then, what does the name I am who I am reveal? And if you've been listening, then you know what I'm going to say. This name for God means that God is self-existent. Okay, but what does that mean? To help us out, let me lean again on 2 of my friends, one a pastor and radio Bible teacher and another a theologian. And both, as is often the case with me, are friends that are now with the Lord. They're dead, but they have left behind very fine books. The first is Theodore Epp, and the second is Herman Bavinck. I'll get to Bavinck next time, but today let's hear from Epp. Theodore Epp was the founder of the radio ministry Back to the Bible, which still airs today with a different host. Perhaps you listen to it. He was a tremendous teacher of the Word of God, and he wrote an outstanding book on the life of Moses, simply titled Moses. I have used it extensively in my research on the life of Moses. It's out in paperback, and you can get a copy, also available on your e-reader. I'll link to it on God Is WEZE Facebook. That's God Is WEZE Facebook. Here is what Epp says about God's response to Moses. Quote, God was really giving Moses a new revelation of himself. The words I am are related to God's name, Jehovah. This name, as do the words I am, reveal that God is the self-existent one. He always exists, past, present, and future. The revelation of himself by this name revealed that God had the ability to become to his people whatever their needs required. It was an all-inclusive name. God was declaring, I will be whatever you need. God is the unchangeable God who lives in the eternal present. Unquote. And then Epp quotes another one of my favorites, F.B. Meyers, and says, as F.B. Meyers said of God, he is the self-sufficient God who alone is his own equal. Theodore Epp, in his two-volume book, Moses, is exactly right. And Meyers was right. Let me just give you the Meyers line again. God is the self-sufficient God who alone is his own equal. Moses is learning a pertinent lesson on the self-existence and the self-sufficiency of God. By saying, I am who I am, God is saying, I will be whatever you need, Moses. I know you need me to do this, and I will be right there with you, accomplishing my purposes through you. You're the person I have chosen to lead my people, the Israelites, and I will give you every resource that you need to do so. And because God is self-sufficient, then he has within himself everything Moses will need. God doesn't have to go somewhere to get it. God doesn't have to depend on anyone or anything else to meet Moses' need. God will give what Moses needs out of himself. God decides to give, and it will be given. And when you come back next time, I'll say more about the self-sufficiency of the Holy God, and we'll hear from Herman Bavinck. So join me again tomorrow for God Is...